Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. James Coppin as my special expert guest. Dr. Coppin received his medical degree from UBC in 1976. His medical career has spanned many disciplines, including family, emergency, aviation, and sports medicine, and has now expanded to a wellness preventative focus. The content of his programs result from his additional training in orthomolecular, Ayurvedic, functional, and anti-aging medicine. Dr. Coppin currently employs this functional approach combined with bioidentical hormones and nutrigenomics to address complex health disorders that require new and effective solutions. He has employed this varied background of medical training in his roles as a general physician, manager of occupational health and disability programs, and during his 20 years as the medical director West for Air Canada Occupational Health Services. One of his favorite endeavors currently is the role of medical advisor for the Life Pro programs run by the Life Protocol. Good morning, Dr. Coppin, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. It's a delight to be with you.
I really enjoyed your presentation at the recent summit that your two sons hosted, you know, the Superhuman Summit, and I got a good clear taste of where you're at and your style of medicine. So maybe you can talk about that brand, that style of medicine, because it's a little more unique and certainly not conventional compared to, say, the typical doctor that most people go and visit. Can you talk about it?
Yeah, sure, Corey. I think the simplest way to begin would be to make the comment that conventional medicine over the last 50 years, we've been very focused on what the health condition is. And we found ways to try to mitigate it, ameliorate it, etc. And I think probably the best way to think about this new approach, functional anti-aging medicine, is that it's all about asking why. Why is this expressing itself? Why is this individual having this manifestation? So it's really about the tools to go underneath into the physiology, the biochemistry, the genetics of this individual, the lifestyle events that are going on, the impacts, to say, why is this happening? Why is it expressing now? And what can we do about correcting that? In the most general form, that's the difference in the two styles.
So you're going much deeper into causality. Obviously, to me, that's the only thing that one can do to really remedy the state. But you're a little bit like Sherlock Holmes, aren't you?
Absolutely. My favorite character of all times. And probably that nature is one of the factors that led me to this kind of approach to medicine. He's one of your favorite characters, too, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he looks at things that are obvious that no one, for whatever reason, can see. And to me, that about sums up my perception of conventional medicine. There are things that are associated with the cause, the root. They're obvious. They're right there. But no one's looking. It's like you can't find the jug of milk and it's staring you right in the face in the fridge, right?
Correct. I think I did that this morning. The other big component, of course, is the focus is not the disease, but the focus is the host. And if you think back to Sir William Osler, probably the most famous physician in Canada ever, he once made a statement in the 1900s that to his students that, in fact, I am much more interested and concerned about the host than I am the disease we're currently treating. I'll give you a quick example. Why does a group of 25 people walk into a forest in the Vancouver Island and they're all trekking together? And why is it only one person who develops Cryptococcus gatti, you know, from breathing in spores of the fungus and ends up having a brain abscess and nearly dying? In fact, there were 25 deaths last year from Cryptococcus gatti. So why did 25 people walk through the same forest? Why did only one young woman get it? And why did it become such a serious illness? And the reality is that given host, under that exposure, was burned out, tired, exhausted, overworked, adrenal suppressed, immune system suppressed, and when they met the organism, just didn't have the reserves to deal with it. So concepts, asking why, next big concept, focusing on the host rather than the so-called disease. Does that help?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. It's so well put. Now, it's just this weekend we attended some barbecues and I met some extraordinary people, as I'm sure you always do. And you have these delightful conversations with people that, you know, want to have a good conversation about something meaningful. But anyway, this one woman, I'd say she's late 50s, she's got Lyme's disease, of all things. And, you know, correct. I think you and I both know how challenging and difficult to even diagnose that can be. But what I'm thinking of now in terms of what you just said, how do you yourself as a man find out what's wrong with people? Like, no man can have all of the knowledge of all the diseases and etiology and all the symptoms in their head. So you must be doing a lot of referencing, and you've got studies and reports and your desk reference. How do you come to terms with finding out what's wrong with people when they come in and you don't even know what the heck's going on yet?
Okay. Well, always the labels are useful. And I mean, people come with all these labels, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndromes, you name it. And so the WATs that have been looked at or in the conventional medicine workups are always useful to give us underlying origin of where the kind of systems involved are. And of course, every unusual disease we meet, we always tend to research what the latest thinking, what's the latest pathophysiology, what's unfolding with this disease, et cetera, et cetera. But in Life Protocol, we've come to a process where we begin an analysis of the individual. We kind of put aside what the issue is, and we start looking at the host. So we begin to look for where their weaknesses are, where their strengths are, and how we can create balance. So simplistically, what we do is we start with analyzing the cell membrane, because the cell membrane of every cell is critical as an intelligence receptor, 100,000 receptors delivering and activating DNA. So we want to look at the cell membrane. It's based on its person's genetics. It's based on their heritage, what the constituents of it should be. And we look and check omega-3, omega-6s, cholesterols, et cetera, saturated fats and phospholipids that make it up. And so we want to make a perfectly healthy cell membrane. And so we analyze where deficiencies and blocks, where inflammatory signals could be being driven from that. Then we want to look at the primitive hormone system that exists inside the cell membrane. So you get about 160 primitive hormones in there that are all activating pathways, turning pathways on, turning pathways off. So we want to analyze that. And then we want to look at all the major cell signaling systems that we can now look at that we have biomarkers for, so we're not guessing. So whether we want to know about methylation pathways, we want to know about glycation pathways, NRF2 pathways, nitric oxide system pathways, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to go around and look at how the DNA is being turned on, turned off, and then we want to, based on the disease we're dealing with, for example, if it's rheumatoid arthritis, we know there's some specific genes that get turned off. They activate inflammatory action, and we want to do things to use epigenetics to turn those genes back on. So bottom line is, pretty well every person we see, we start with a cell analysis. Then how do cells talk to each other? Well, they talk through hormones. So as we're longer on the planet, as we age, you know, starting at age 20, hormonal systems start coming out of balance. So we want to analyze all the big hormones, whether we're talking melatonin, prolactin, thyroid hormones, pituitary hormones, adrenal hormones, etc. Obviously, sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, etc., etc. So we take a look at the big hormonal patterns that may have come out of balance for that individual. After that, the body works through a conversation of the nervous system, autonomic, sympathetic, etc. So we have a mechanism of analyzing the functional expression of the person's nervous system at this given time. So we look at how their brain was given a certain voltage, a certain speed, a certain rhythm, a certain coherence. We look at that heritage, and then we do an analysis to figure out where they're at now. So, for example, somebody who was born with a ton of voltage in their brain, if that voltage still isn't there, then it's manifesting as slowed metabolism, diabetes, high blood pressure, low energies, et cetera, et cetera. And then we take a look at gut. I'm careful with gut because we're still in an evolving phase where we have accurate ways to analyze the gut, but we do. And then the last thing is we use energy medicine, because changes in energy of the body are very expressionate in helping us figure out where things are right and wrong. For example, if people have heart disease, well, electron we've known from Ayurvedic medicine, the heart is fed by a lot of energy from the small intestine. So we look at energy medicine, we take a look at where imbalances exist, where somebody could be blocked, where we're not getting electron flow, and we're not getting tissue health. So we kind of run through that gamut on everyone. We find where their big spots are, where they're hot, where they're out of balance, and we find where their strengths are, and we don't want to touch those because they're in balance. And then we begin to start to alter the lifestyle, the nutrients, the vitamins, nutraceuticals, etc., hormones as necessary, to bring them back to a more optimal level of function, in consideration to whatever recent research has said about their given disease. So we can often employ that. For example, the person I was just dealing this morning with has developed Graves' disease, and Graves' disease is an overactive thyroid, and we've isolated the casein molecule from dairy that activates an antibody that attacks the TSH receptor in the thyroid, so overstimulates the thyroid, etc. So we'd give them appropriate advice about nutrients and foods that they should avoid, etc.
Well, that's amazing. So it's really a functional model that you're using, right? It's
correct.
It's like you look at the state of the person. You don't run away into a simple prescription for a symptom. You have to find out what state they're in and, of course, do some detailed history to find out what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah, correct. And it's all based on what you've been doing for the last 30 bloody years. I mean, a lot of this work came out of sports medicine, looking at what it took for physiology to be optimal, what it took for a human to achieve a high athletic state. So a lot of this research has gone well back into the late 70s and 80s, looking at what these markers should be for optimal biochemistry and physiology. So it's been a wonderful development out of really good academic science.
Yes, and I love the fact that it goes way back to Platonic and Aristotelian gymnastics is what they called fitness back then, right? And the discipline and the true grit starts there as a youngster, and then you develop all those life lessons, and then you develop the intelligence of the mind to become that complete man.
Absolutely. There's nothing I love more than very old ideas that have a great track record of improving health, and then we find some new science to support why it was so powerful. I mean, what better can you apply to people where you've got a track record, you know what the upsides and downsides are going to be, you're dealing with something that's well tested, and now you have new science to really support it. So I get very excited about a lot of old ideas as they come into prominence, and we know how powerful they can be.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, during your seminar presentation, what stood out for me in your PowerPoint was a quote from Niccolo Machiavelli, because I just finished reading The Prince for the first time, and I know that you must have read it. So it's a beautiful piece of literature, you know, the might is right idea, and it's pretty cold and bold. But what was it about that quote that brought it out? Like, why did you use that quote?
Well, I use the quote because, you know, I think it takes a lot of courage to keep your walk going on this planet. You know, it's not for people without courage. So often when we have new ideas and we want to push those ideas forward really to the welfare of the people you're trying to help, it's always a real challenge when you're being suppressed, you're being controlled. And that's been the feature which Machiavelli, of course, describes so accurately. That's the mass thinking can block progress, can break free will and lead things forward. And so it's always a challenge. And I think what I've done, I hope I've done, is just take small, gentle steps, slowly moving forward and overcome the sort of negative gravity to not think outside the box, not to bring new ideas to what I do. And so I think Machiavelli just described that whole behavior in society extremely well. So
now let's talk about compliance, as in patient compliance.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
You do your work and you find out what's going on, but you know that it's not going to be of any benefit to them unless they take the appropriate action that you are recommending. What have you seen in people, like in their head, in their spirit, in their will? Why are they able to do the work and coincide with your obvious truth? And what is it that's different between them and everyone else that leaves your office and then just continues to struggle every day in trying to do what seems to be, to me and you, to be obvious?
Mm-hmm. It's a really challenging aspect. And our clients, you know, we have half of our clientele are probably health professionals. We have a lot of physicians and specialists, cardiologists, gynecologists, neurosurgeons, you name it, we've got it as clients, and many other health professionals, physios, nurses, etc. And so they're already very knowledgeable about these areas, and when you lead them in the path and they connect the dots, they really appreciate it academically. But the reality is their accomplishments or achievements are absolutely no different than if the individual is a businessman, a construction worker, a housewife, doesn't matter, okay? And you're right, it's about this sense that an individual truly knows something is out of balance. They know they're not optimal. They know they don't have the full energy, and they're just losing that joy of life, and they really don't want that to happen. And they're determined. They want it back. They want to keep it. And when you pick up people with that feel, then they apply what you're talking about, those personal disciplines, that stick-to-itness, to stay with the program, keep seeing the changes, and when, of course, they feel benefits, they stay highly motivated to keep going. And that's a special thing of expressing our free will. You know, that whole statement is, if you're not growing, you're dying. So these people really choose that they want to change and they want to keep growing, okay? And those are the ones who get phenomenal results, sometimes true miracles, right? It's an expression of our free will to grow, keep growing, and not to evolve into a state of stagnation and death.
Exactly, because it seems to be so clear-cut. This is why I like Ayn Rand, because she says that intelligence and logic and math is huge, but you have to have philosophy first, she says, because if you haven't defined your purpose in life, then none of that is really going to make up for that loss. Because I see a lot of people that go through the motions. They're not well. They're very successful, maybe, in conventional terms. They're rich, wealthy. Mm. They've got power, status. They're recognized. But I don't see them as being very well, Jim. They're not well. Like, they're heavy set, or they're not fit, or they are susceptible to all kinds of mental diseases and depression.
They've lost the joy in life. It's very apparent. I see a fair number of these people. And hopefully teach them some new ways to get it back, to get back on track. Society controls us based on fear and, I'm afraid, greed. And so a lot of people have fallen into a wrong track of what they should be chasing in life. And it's the wrong path, and it leads to a lot of dis-ease, right?
Yes. Now, can you talk about the paleo-like emphasis? I noticed that you brought that out in some of your previous literature that I've read. You talked about the Mediterranean diet, which has many virtues, but have you moved to more of a paleo, or do you include both? What is your general approach with diet and nutrition?
Okay. My honest opinion, we have a certain approach, but my honest opinion is, of course, there's no perfect diet for everyone. The reality is I see real benefits to the paleo diet and how much Neanderthal you have in your DNA and what blood type you are. You type O, you have a lot of Neanderthal in your blood, then I think your genetics say, boy, paleo is for you. If you're Mediterranean-based and you have more of a type A, agricultural-type blood type, and your genetics say you're all from around Europe, etc., I think the Mediterranean diet is a wonderful thing. And if you're Asian and you have AB blood types and you have a whole bunch of heavy genetics from Asia, you know, I really favor a diet along the style of the Okinawan diet, which has produced more centenarians than anywhere on the planet. So I think there's broad statements you can make about from where people come from. And then the wonderful thing these days is we can use nutrigenomics to start to get a better feel for the actual, you know, polymorphisms these people have inherited and which enzyme systems may be underperforming, etc. And for example, my polymorphisms in my DNA indicate that I have a very down-regulated enzyme system, so I can't convert folic acid, so I have to use optimized folate and methylfolate. I have to use methyl B12 because I'm sluggish there. I've got some other genetic manipulations that are impacting how I specifically have to choose vitamins for myself and my clients. I'm amazed. A couple of days ago, I open up my folder on my laptop, And there is my entire DNA rambling down in front of me. Every gene I own is coming across my visual field. And my wife walks in and says, "So what's that?" I said, "That's me. You know, there's every gene I own." She says, "Oh, where's the ones for the eyes?" So I stop and show her. She says, "So what's it say?" I said, "Well, it says I have blue eyes." She said, "Oh, that's great." She says, "So where's the ones for genitals?" So I whipped down a little further, showed it to it, and she said, not surprised. The letters are really small," and walked off laughing, of course. So, all joking aside, we now have this opportunity to take a look at, you know, all these SNPs and polymorphisms people have inherited, and we really can help them fine-tune diet. And if they're a polymorphism in CDS and they've got a real rapid push-through of their sulfur foods, then we can help them get advice and get rid of migraines because they're way overeating sulfur foods, for example. So the whole world of nutrigenomics, it's coming, it's expanding, we're getting better and better data. You have to be careful, though, that you're not overreacting to the genetic data, because a lot of times the genes aren't expressing themselves. So you need to find ways to say, okay, is that expressing, and is this an issue? Or should I just say, well, that's interesting, it really doesn't seem to be a player here. So that's the new challenge in this whole world of nutrigenomics. But so, back to your question, I have those big flavors. My one big comment was, I just think it's been the greatest scam in health history to have had a push to North American people that a low-fat, high-carb diet was the way to go. I just think it's created so much disease and so much ill health. It was a real scam, and it was really badly thought out.
What about veganism, that cult-like phenomenon that you see so many young girls get hooked on? And I know of several, and they just emaciate, they whittle away, they're caught up in some kind of transformation where they associate the killing of animals with immorality. They have these ideals in their head that are not based on science, but more of a belief system, like a religion or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that as a movement? Because it doesn't seem to go away. You know, it still is out there. And it's stronger in the health industry, like the natural health industry, than it is in convention.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been at this medicine game over 43 years now. And unfortunately, I've seen an incredible amount of ill health, disease, cancer as a result of people who followed that vegetarian path too long. They don't see the downstream effects. I buy in, I understand it. Hey, I'm Ayurvedic trained. There was a time in which my diet was nearly fully vegetarian, but I quickly recognized that this wasn't right for me, and a well-being wasn't there, and I basically became a pescatarian while I was studying Ayurveda. So lots of vegetables and vegetarian orientation, but lots of fish, right? And it created a real well-being in me. I have seen more people, and I have personal friends, and I can name off a multitude of celebrities who have all died of cancer as a result of following a very strict vegetarian orientation. So I agree with you 100%. They are breaking the rules of our genetics and our millions of years of history of what the human body runs on. I appreciate the fact that they recognize that there's a spiritual component, that it connects them to a very larger, bigger energy that directs their life. But the reality is that, Corey, after you become enlightened, do you disappear and turn into a flash of light? No, you recognize you're still human, and you better deal with this human structure that you're walking around in. And I think for them to mistreat that is non-spiritual. They should be giving recognition to the fact that currently they are in human form, and humans require certain degrees of attention. And I think vegetarianism is against that. It's not respecting their current form. You agree with your philosophy?
100%, and perhaps the best definition of what that evolves into that I've heard yet, because I believe that's true. Because a lot of these vegans also become food addicts, or they either, you know, bulimic or anorexic, and to me, it's all a control issue. They're using food to control something about themselves because of the hatred towards parents or life, or the fact that they can't control nature and reality. They realize they have very little control. So they can control the fact that they don't eat, or they eat very strangely, and it's unlike everyone else, even to the point where it drives their parents insane. And so to me, they got to snap out of that illusion.
you can fall into it early because, you know, people who go down that path have usually been on the SAD diet, the standard American diet that's very sad. And so they move towards a vegetarian path and they have a sense of well-being as a result of this because they really are cleaning up their nutrition. But then they carry it to an extreme, as I say, as you're pointing out, losing perspective and recognition of what the human body truly needs to be optimal. And they keep going down this addictive pathway, which, you know, choose your addictions carefully, right?
Couldn't we also say then that the typical physicist, biologist, professor, I don't see them as the epicenter of health. You know, a lot of them don't train. They don't even know what the word means. They have put a lot of emphasis on the intellectual side of life, but very little on the physical compared to, you know, what we were talking about going back a couple of thousand years, where the emphasis was first and foremost on the physical. Now, aren't they doing the same thing? Like they're eating a standard American diet, you know, it's abusive, it's destructive, they're ignoring the science, they just sort of hit the books and they can talk the talk. Isn't that in a way kind of similar to the other Fruit Loops that are trying to live alone exclusively on fruit and trying to do something that's kind of the same? They're just all kind of avoiding what to me is, what is real? What is reality? This is why I like Aristotle, because he says A is A. Like reality is, and it doesn't matter how you perceive it. It is what it is. So you better find out what it is, because when you correlate your life practice with what is, there's harmony as opposed to the disharmony.
Yeah, it's like Robin Williams, correct, with his reality. What a concept. You know, Corey, I know how much you feel a connectedness with Socrates, Aristotle, that whole thinking. And in fact, I battled that. I think you have to battle that your whole life, that the reality is there's a physical component. We must give it attention. There's a mental, academic, intellectual component. We must develop it. And there's a spiritual component that makes us a complete human. And I think you just, in your life, you just have to keep working all three sides of that triangle, that thing. You got to work around it all the time. And I think the danger comes is, for example, with myself, if I get lost in this new wonderful medicine and I'm lost in the academia, and it's pulling me in an addictive fashion where I, you know, I just can't get enough because it's just so much fun to learn new things. And I go, oh, what have I been doing? What are my workouts? What are my goals here? So I think you have to continually balance yourself, right? Which is what the ancient Greeks and Romans taught us, that we had to be a full human being. And I think you constantly in life have to be revisiting. And it was great, I thought, the whole presentation at the conference on the Blueprint for a Champion. Jeff Spencer made it very clear how we had to set goals in all those areas of our lives, and we had to continue to achieve in all those areas of our lives. So I agree completely with your philosophy, and I think people who are lost in the academia are down one tunnel, and they're in a vortex that doesn't lead to well-being.
Yeah, amen. You know, I just finished watching the new Netflix Marco Polo, which is very good. I read his book, or one of the books, when I was like 6 years old, and that's what started this dreamlike phenomenon in my head, wanting to travel and see the world, and just like Marco did. But if you and I were on a ship together, I think that we would be brothers, and we would share the same philosophy, and we could have a really good time checking out the planet.
Hey, it's all about developing a cadre of people in this walk who are like-minded but are very supportive, and it makes the walk on the planet a lot more enjoyable.
Excellent. Well, our time is gone, and it's just been a phenomenal piece of time, and it was very well spent. I really appreciate your time. Do you want to share a website if anyone wants to get to you or to Spencer and Fraser? Is there a website that you can share with us?
You know, I think still the best website is where the boys are working in all of this wellness approach, helping people find a great path to being a little more superhuman for them, achieving all their health goals and wellness goals. So I think going through the Life Protocol website is the best. I've been with these guys their whole life. We're still together. We're a great team, and we share ideas, and I act as a medical advisor to them for the areas of medicine that they don't understand. But I think that's probably the best website.
Okay, so that's thelifeprotocol.com.
Thelifeprotocol.com, yeah.
everyone out there get to that site and check it out and get some insight from people that are moving and shaking the world in the way that we all want to. Jim, it's been fabulous speaking with
Always
you.
Always too much fun.
Yeah, you've got a great sense of humor, which I know is very powerful. It's very powerful because, you know, when you're laughing, you're not crying, and maybe they're the same emotion, I don't know. But at least when you're laughing, it's generating a change in the environment that heals the body.
Hey, why would you want to be here and not enjoy yourself, right? It just doesn't make any sense to me that you just don't want to have a great ride on this planet. It's a great experience. Boy, you want to enjoy it. And people got to recognize the minute they lose their health, they're not going to enjoy it. And that just makes no sense to me at all.
Dr. James Coppin is a medical doctor in Richmond, British Columbia, and he practices a very unique style, a very practical style of medicine. And he is totally committed to the wellness, not only of himself and his family, but to his patients. And this is the kind of mark that a man must leave, and he's leaving it. So, Jim, we thank you so much for your contribution on this edition of SNU.
The only last thing, Corey, is your programs, I think, are invaluable, and the people that have done them, including my sons and many other people, it's always led them on to much greater things. I thank you for all the work you've done to bring this into the awareness of people who are health-oriented. It's been fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much.
Many thanks back.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.